Tomorrow's morning show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin with a critical vote on trans rights in the Northwest.
Guests will come to order.
It will come days after a protest that disrupted proceedings in the state legislature.
Montana Republican leaders today will vote to censure or expel transgender Democratic State Representative Zoe Zephyr. She's been silenced for her comments against a bill to ban gender-affirming care for children. Katie Spence is among her many supporters.
I elected her so she could come to Helena to speak for me, and now we are here to speak for her since she has been silenced.
Zephyr said those who vote to ban gender-affirming care for young people would have, quote, blood on their hands. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
The fate of the Proud Boys accused ringleaders is now in the hands of a jury. All five face the highest level charge levied so far, seditious conspiracy. Correspondent Scott McFarlane is on Capitol Hill.
The group includes Enrique Tarrio, whose defense attorney told the jurors yesterday it was Donald Trump's words, his motivations, his anger that caused what occurred on January 6th.
President Biden meets with his South Korean counterpart at the White House today, where the two men plan to sign a military agreement. It'll pave the way for American nuclear submarines to dock in South Korea for the first time since the 1980s, a move that's likely to inflame tensions further with North Korea. A Florida man has been charged with murdering and dismembering an Uber Eats driver who made a delivery to his home in Holladay. Pasco County Sheriff Chris Noko.
We arrested Oscar Solis for felony murder in conjunction with a robbery because we were able to find the victim's wedding ring and car keys in another room in the house outside from where we believe the homicide occurred.
The sheriff says the driver's remains were found in trash bags and in a cooler. Parts of Yosemite National Park will close Friday with California's massive snowpack melting rapidly. Sharon Freeman is keeping track of water levels in northeastern Truckee.
We have this rock out in the middle of the river that we watch how high over that rock it's going. It's way over.
Temperatures in central California could climb into the 90s today. The biggest beer maker confirms.
I got some Bud Lights for us.
Two marketing executives are on leave after a decision to hire trans influencer Dylan Mulvaney to push their product. The backlash was immediate. Bud Light sales plunged more than 17%. But marketing experts say the decision still plays well with young people who support diversity and want companies to take a stand on controversial issues. Dow up 2 points. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and maximum success with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Progressive protects more than just your home and car. You could save when you bundle your motorcycles, ATVs, boats, and RVs. Doesn't that sound good? Like the sound of your boat cruising along the intercoastal. And there's the sound of the prop hitting a really big rock. And now the sound of waves. Because the engine stopped. But you know what does sound good? You're covered with Progressive. So bundle all your vehicles and home in one place and save with the multi-policy discount. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers.
In business, everything your employees do impacts your brand, including what they wear. Cintas has high-performance workplace apparel for almost every job imaginable. From work shirts and pants to polos and khakis to oxfords or t-shirts, these clothes move, breathe, and look great. Your team gets the styles they like, you convey the image you want. And Cintas service includes weekly laundry and delivery. To learn more, visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
It'd be great if life came with a remote control. You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind. Like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. But prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control.
Yikes!
So you're on your own with the wasps. you have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
A blend of clouds and sun this afternoon with highs around 53. Winds out of the southwest 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies. Tonight, slight chance for scattered rain showers. Lows dip down to about 40. Slight chance for scattered showers again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 64. Cloudy skies expected.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
Currently, it's 39.
Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this April 26, 2023. It is 10:05 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 10:30, we're going to talk with our friends from the ODC. Looking forward to catching up with them. Right now in studio, we have Wood County Board Chairman Lance Plimmel. Good morning, Lance.
Hey, James. How are you doing this
week?
Doing
good. How are you doing, man?
Fantastic. Weather's beautiful.
You and JR, you guys always come in and always look, I love your style. You look good, man. Good to see you. Thanks for being here, Lance.
Trying to class the place up.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I need that, Lance. We also want to thank our good friend Jacob Wagner being here again with Wood County Health Department. Jacob was here last week. We're going to get Jacob a room. We're going to have him just here. He's going to be our on-call Wood County Health Department guy.
That's right.
Appreciate you being here, Jacob. Thanks for the time.
Always a pleasure seeing you, James.
Lance, I've told you this before. I always appreciate you and I could talk for a half an hour about almost anything, and we enjoy our conversations, but you are giving of your time and always bring in guests a lot, and especially from the Wood County Health Department. You know how much I appreciate that. We love our friends at the Wood County Health Department. Back you guys 100%. Why this today, though, Lance? Why did you bring Jacob in and take him, make him have to put up with me again for a while? The poor guy.
It's always good to hear from somebody who actually knows what they're talking about. that's where we start. But, you know, we've been... Society as a whole, but certainly in our county, you know, we're impacted by the drug problem. It impacts our, you know, protective services, our sheriff's department, our courts, our human services departments, our health department. It's a tremendous cost. And there was a reason that there were multi-billion dollar settlements in regard to the opioids, in regard to the, you know, manufacturers, distributors, retailers. And we were instrumental, Wisconsin, in getting this money. And there's a lot of money out there to help us along in battling this crisis. And a week ago, we had our Take Back program. It's generally very successful. But that's not a one-and-done event. I mean, it can't be a one-day deal, and we've solved the drug problem. It doesn't occur. So we have Jacob, who, you know, comes to our committee meetings occasionally, speaks to us about the current issues of the day, where we're going, where we're headed, the successes that we may have had last week, and then where we're going to go. So anytime I have the opportunity to bring in somebody, whether it be the health department, human services, you name it, you know, if you took the whole county as a whole, you know, I probably know more about the entire county than everybody one inch deep. If we get past one inch deep, we call in the experts. And I do rely on them. You know, I think the biggest mistake people that have some role in government make is not taking advantage of the resources that they have and being willing to say, hey, I don't know as much as Jacob knows. Let's get him. So with that being said, you know, we had this event last week. You know, maybe we can move this a little bit more to the questions that you would have of Jacob and what the successes are and what we have going forward.
Yeah. I couldn't agree with you more about everything you said there, Lance. Appreciate it. It's all hands on deck with this subject. It has been for quite some time. And we know that obviously drugs are bad, and we've known this since we were kids and we were told it and everything, but the game has gotten worse. There's more out there now than ever. It's infected into things much more. It's able to be incorporated into things more. I grew up in not only in the heart of the 80s, but in the projects during the crack epidemic. I understand this game. I understand what drugs are. I've seen it my whole life. My community was devastated by this. Before that, it was heroin. heroin that had devastated my community. I thought that heroin was the worst thing that I could see. The way it affected my father and all those things, I didn't think that it could get any worse. Then crack came around. I'm like, well, it's never going to get any worse than this. This is the worst thing that's ever been. And then bath salts come around. And then this, and then this. And now we got fentanyl. The game doesn't, they just keep moving the goalposts on us. And it just keeps getting worse. And to think of something that's worse than crack to me, I didn't think that would ever happen. But this fentanyl and the opioids in this, it's just, it's the game, like they changed the rules. It used to just be inner cities and stuff. That's how everybody thought this was and stuff. We all understand, I think, logically that that wasn't the case. But now it is all over the map. It's in every, it's almost in every community in that.
Well, you know, James, you know, especially with fentanyl and some of the other synthetics you have like that, you have a, it doesn't just affect the user, the addict. You know, you can kill law enforcement, other people that come in contact with the drug. Some of them come in contact unknowingly. It's a scourge on society. It's extremely difficult to deal with.
I had a best friend at 8 years old get killed by a crack dealer. Yeah, that 8 year old didn't have anything to do with that.
Yep.
Yeah,
I mean,
to your point.
You know, so, you know, we have drugs now that are, you know, back in our day, you know, when I was younger, I mean, certainly had acquaintances, friends that used drugs.
Mm-hmm.
But typically it wasn't one and dead.
Right.
You know,
right.
And one of the big ad campaigns going on Waukesha County right now, to Brown County and some of the others is, you know, fentanyl, the new F word.
Yeah.
You know, because
yeah,
it really is, you know, one contact, one time, mm-hmm, whether it be, you know, something you intended to do or whether it be unbeknownst to you, and life is over.
Yeah.
And so we have to make people aware, and that's why we have people like Jacob out here.
Yeah. And Jacob, you know, we talked a little bit about this last week, but it was before the event. Mm-hmm. Tell us how the event went for you, for the county and everything, and then where we can expand from there.
Yeah, so we did have the event last Saturday on April 22nd, and the reports that I got between the Wisconsin Rapids PD, Grand Rapids PD, and the Sheriff's Department that held the event here in Wisconsin Rapids at the Pick and Save, they collected almost 200 pounds of medication. So that's great. We have other agencies that are also collecting this, and then there's also permanent disposal sites. So if you didn't get a chance to make it to the event, there's lots of permanent disposal sites that you can take these medications and dispose of them. I've got a list here. If we have some time, I can go over this.
Got all the time.
Yeah, and just real clear, Jacob, you know, that was 200 pounds, not 200 pills, not 200 millions, 200 pounds.
And it goes back to what you were saying, too, from the health department. It's not just trying to clear space in your cabinet. There's a prevention and a harm reduction effort there. We're trying to prevent somebody from accessing a controlled medication that you may have, whether it's expired or you're not using it, trying to prevent someone that may look to misuse that medication from accessing it by disposing of it, or trying to reduce someone from accidentally ingesting it, maybe a youth or an animal, from accessing that medication. So for us, it's not just about, and it does protect the groundwater, you know, not flushing it down the toilet or putting it in the trash, you know, the environmental aspects, but also from substance prevention, reducing that access to those medications, specifically the controlled medications. But there are permanent disposal sites. So if you do have prescriptions, controlled and non-controlled prescriptions, creams, inhalers, ointments, over-the-counter medication, PET medications, these are materials that you can dispose of at these permanent disposal sites. And we've got them all over Wood County. So at your pharmacies, at CVS and Walgreens, you can take these medications and dispose of them. And these don't have to be in their original containers. Mm-hmm. You can bring them in a Ziploc bag or stuff like that. I know for the creams and the liquids, they do want those in the original containers. But also the Marshfield Clinic Health System, Central Avenue Pharmacy, the Marshfield Clinic Health System First Floor Pharmacy, the police departments, the Marshfield Police Department, the Nacusa Police Department, the Pittsfield Police Department, Port Edwards Police Department. You can also dispose them at the Town of Grand Rapids Municipal Building, Wisconsin Rapids Police Department, the Wood County Sheriff's Department, and also the Rome Police Department.
Mm.
So some things that are not accepted, but there is other ways to dispose of it. Aerosol cans, biohazard materials such as body fluid or blood, and household hazardous waste. Those can be put in the garbage. So that doesn't have to be any special way to dispose of that. illegal drugs, and I know this sounds counterintuitive, but you can contact law enforcement to dispose of illegal drugs, and there will be no
repercussions.
Right, right. And I don't know how that goes for someone that may be on, like,
right.
I don't know the rules with that. But a mercury thermometer, that there is clean sweep programs that, mm-hmm. that happen through the county that you can dispose of that. And you can also bring those down to the health department on the third floor of the river block. The environmental health will help with that. Oxygen tanks and nebulizers, I would contact the supplier to dispose of those. Personal care products can go in the garbage. Radioactive cancer medication, cancer repository. So there is ways, and I would look that up online, the closest one to you to dispose of those. And then needles and sharps, if you do have a needle or to dispose of. Marshfield Police Department has a syringe disposal right inside the department there. Aspirus Riverview has a big disposal. So if you actually have like a bag that you need to dispose of, Aspirus Riverview can do that. And then we did just put one in the River Block building, similar to what was in Marshfield. But this is just for single disposal. So if you do have more, that has to be taken to Aspirus. But I do mention that's not for businesses to dispose of. That's just for community members to dispose of. And then if there's more information, you can contact the health department at 715-421-8907. That's my contact link there, and I can help you out more with this information. Mm-hmm.
The concerning part, James, you know, a lot of this starts with legal prescribed medications.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
You know, and I can tell you the other, not just the other day, it was a couple of years ago, but I happened to go through my cabinets, you know, over the years, you had a dental procedure or something else. And go, you know, OxyContin, Oxycodone, Tramadol. I mean, mm-hmm. I had five or six bottles because I typically don't take them. You know, you go home and they say, here's your prescription.
I'm so with you.
You know, if Tylenol really and ibuprofen works, and it just sits there. But often that's where it starts. And then mm-hmm. we end up, you know, going down that illegal trail and we end up with a problem. So whether that applies to you as somebody who is out there illegally obtaining those drugs or somebody mm-hmm. who obtained legally through a prescription, you don't want those falling into the hands where they're not supposed to be.
Yeah, we've learned at a young age too much of anything can be a bad thing. And that's no different than anything from food to a over-the-counter medication that you are taking to heal from something or whatever. I'm like you, Lance. I'm really bad about remembering and taking medications. I just recently was at the walk-in clinic to get a kidney stone looked at. They gave me some antibiotics. And I know that the drug take-back day had been coming up. So I was kind of talking to the person about it and everything. I'm like, okay, I'm going to be honest with you, man. I don't know if I'm going to remember to take all these. As bad as that kidney stone was, I did remember. But I wasn't sure. And I traditionally haven't been great about that. So, you know, but this is just antibiotics. I mean, you know, this isn't too bad, right? I'm sure I'll take it to the take-back place. But, you know, it's antibiotics. It's not too bad. He's like, no, that's got to go. That too. That's just as much. It's got to go in there. Even something that seems harmless to us, like antibiotics, is something that can be harmful to a child, to an animal, and certainly harmful to our environment. I'm so glad that you brought that part up, Jacob, because I feel like when we talk about subjects like this, I always try to, I feel like our guests are already on one side of things. I try to bring in people who are on the fence, who are, this isn't important, or I don't care about this, or drugs only hurt bad people or something like that. Like, that ain't the case. If drugs did that, we wouldn't be having this conversation possibly. Mm-hmm. Drugs affect everybody. And as Lance touched on in the beginning here, it affects all different kinds of fields in our day-to-day lives. Getting this stuff off the market, off the streets and everything is something that falls on all of us, all hands on deck. We all got to be paying attention to this. Mm-hmm. And part of that is being responsible with your medications and dropping them off doing this. What are some other things that we can touch on with this subject, Jacob, that we don't always get a chance to?
Yeah, I really want to take the opportunity to talk about some securing disposing at home. So if for some reason you can't make it to these take-back events, you can't make it to these permanent disposal sites, at the health department, we do have these doTERRA packets, and you tear them open, put the medication inside, put some water in there, and you shake it, and it'll actually deactivate the active ingredients in the medication. So turning this harmful to the environment medication into something that just becomes harmless, and that can actually just be thrown in the trash. So that is something that we offer at the health department. If you do contact me at 715-421-8907, that's something that I can help you obtain. And my favorite is we have these drug lockboxes.
Yeah.
So we get these through state opioid response funding, and they're nice, heavy-duty lockboxes. You know, you can bolt them to the wall or a drawer. There's not something someone could break into easily. And the reason why I like these, and this is kind of anecdotal, but growing up, I had friends that would access their parents' or their grandparents' medication. So for to me, I know that this makes a difference. And sometimes we don't realize that, maybe if a pill or two is missing. But when we put them in this lockbox, when we've got, especially those controlled medications are in this lockbox, someone can't just sneak in and access that. I mean, and if for some reason the lockbox was broken open or something like that, it would at least start that conversation to know that they were accessed. And these are completely free through the health department. So if you need one, if you know someone that needs one, we have these. We have additional, if the you don't want a big metal lockbox, we have the little bags that I feel like are more travel friendly. So if you're going somewhere, they've got a combination on these little bags that you can lock stuff in. Those are all free through the health department. So we do have combination and lock for the lock boxes. So some people like the combination, some people like the key. So if that's something that you are interested in or know someone that's interested in, please contact me and I will be able to help you obtain these resources that we have.
I remember one of the early, like, especially because growing up in the 80s, the big Say No to Drugs campaign and a lot of that, I remember a speaker coming to our class and speaking to us about it. And I'll never forget the person going up there and saying, you know, sniffing, he was giving examples of different things, of different drugs and how you do them. And he mentioned sniffing marijuana. And I immediately thought, like, and I'm a kid. And granted, I didn't grow up like normally, like a lot of people did. I was around a lot of this stuff and everything. But I would think it's pretty common knowledge most people don't sniff marijuana. Like, the idea that he didn't seem to know what he was talking about, that he didn't the knowledge part of this. This is a gray area here. This is a tough one because we certainly don't want to inform kids how to do these things or anything like that. But it's very important, I think, too, to be honest about this stuff and make sure the kids understand these things, because every little, even if it's a quote unquote white lie or an unintentional lie, that's one bit of doubt in their heads. That's one little bit of doubt. Well, if they're lying about this, what are they true about and all that? And that's the last thing we need right now is kids having any divisiveness about this subject or anything. Being honest, treating these kids like a little bit like adults. I'm sorry, but a little bit like that. The subject's too heavy to not do that. I want kids to be kids as long as humanly possible as well. I don't want to take away their innocence. I don't want to do any of that. But I'll tell you, growing up with it, it saved me. It literally saved me. Like, there's no reason that I shouldn't be an addict. My father was an addict. I was born with an addictive personality. The worst thing I am is I'm addicted to The Simpsons. Like, one of the things that helped me was growing up around the knowledge of this and understanding what these things were. I'm not saying it's a magic bullet or anything, but I think it goes a long way. Lance.
Well, and we have to do a lot with, you know, the information, the prevention, because social media penetrates, you know, infiltrates every part of our life right now. So kids are getting that information.
Yeah.
You have to put out accurate information on a timely basis all the time. And, you know, one of the points Jacob made is, you know, locking up medication, for instance, legally obtained medication. You know, pick your number. 80 to 100,000 people died of fentanyl overdoses last year. Now, all you hear, and I'm not telling you not to do this, but, you know, you hear all the time, lock up your firearm. Don't let your kids get into them. Well, that can be a tragedy. We have 80,000 people who died of fentanyl overdose or drug overdoses. Now, not all of those were because medications weren't locked up, but that's often where access begins. Exactly. And so the point is, take advantage of every opportunity that you have to make your home, your community as safe as you can. And like I said, if you don't think it impacts you personally, I just want you to look at your property tax bill and some of that other stuff, because all of those programs that we need to run in the county that make you safe, whether it's a jail, whether it's law enforcement, health departments, human services, they're funded through your tax dollars. And it's that old, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, mm-hmm. so to speak. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if we can do something on the front end, and that's where these guys are. And you have an event coming up that I'd like you to touch on here before we run out of time.
And also that kind of not my kids, I think.
Yeah.
It's not just about misuse. It's also about accidentals. Yeah. And the same thing where somebody accesses that shouldn't be accessed, mm-hmm. and doesn't fully understand what it is or taking it as prescribed.
And Lance, don't worry, I'm paying attention to the time. I know how much
I'm
time
I'm watching
we
the
have.
Clock. I'm past you.
Don't pay attention to that clock. It's not going to help you.
You're not going to cut me off.
No. Let's talk about that event, though, coming up over at Midstate, Jacob.
Yeah, so IMPACT, which is a community coalition that focuses on substance prevention for youth, reducing adult misuse of substances, and then also fostering a recovery environment here in Wood County. They are hosting an event on Monday, May 1st from 5 to 6:30. That'll be at the Midstate Auditorium. And we're just going to be talking about IMPACT and what it is that we're doing, the harm reduction efforts here in the county, hearing from some of our recovery members, just talking about the recovery environment here in Wood County, hearing from the LEO program. And the best part is we're going to have Polito's Pizza in Starbucks.
Nice.
So come and get some free food. Learn about IMPACT. We really want to get the community involved in these efforts. This is a community coalition. We need community members to come and help us make sure we're doing right by Wood County.
Yeah, this takes everybody.
Where can they access that information again? Off our Wood County website? Do we have a link there? Or where would we get this information? Because
You could find this on the Healthy People Facebook page. So the Healthy People Wood County. I do not believe it's on our website.
As long as we said where it is again, because if I was listening right now and you would have told me where to go, I would have said, where do I get that information again?
So you can go to the Healthy People Wood County Facebook page to see this flyer. You can also give me a call at 715-421-8907. You can also shoot me an email at jacob.wagner@woodcountywi.gov. So jacob.wagner@woodcountywi.gov. And again, it's Monday, May 1st at the Midstate Technical College here in Wisconsin Rapids. And that's 5 to 6:30. Come and grab some pizza and some Starbucks, some fun stuff that they're serving, and learn more about IMPACT.
None of us know our own phone numbers. That's how email addresses are. Like, I have a hard time remembering my email address like half the time. I hear you, Ben. When it comes to the community, and Jacob, I'm not asking you this as like the tell-all of this or anything, but just as somebody who was in the heart of these things and stuff, how has this community been about this subject when we're talking about prevention, when we're talking about people getting better, addiction in general?
Yeah, receptive, absolutely. I've only been here 2 years, and I've seen the growth in the community, the involvement, and that's what we're doing this for. Someone will hear about it and get involved and be like, I didn't know about this. And so we really want to do a better job because people, they do care. They do want to make the difference. And, you know, if you've got any stake in Wood County, and I think we all do, you know, come and help make it as best as possible.
What from your perspective can we do to help this outside of the things that we've already touched on, getting these medications out of our house and that kind of thing?
Yeah, if you can shoot me a call or an email, I can include you in the IMPACT minutes and agendas, and just seeing what we're doing in the community, how to be involved. We always need community members. There's so much going on. There's so much that we're trying to tackle. I feel like me and my coworker Ashley Normington, we have our hands in 1,000 pots, and we need community members to really make this work. You know, we've got businesses and organizations that want to assist, but we really need the community members to come in and say, you know, how can we help? And really, we want to assist the community members in these efforts. That would be the ultimate dream, is the community to take this over and for these businesses and organizations to assist the community.
It starts with talk to your kids.
Yeah.
Talk to your kids, talk to your grandkids. You know, I'd much rather have that. You know, we certainly want to prevent addiction, want to prevent death. I don't want to see you in drug court. Mm-hmm. You know, those are kind of the last measure to try to get you back, you know, as a productive member of society. If we can do something ahead of time, and it typically starts with people who either have been there talking to those groups or, you know, more importantly, parents. And, you know, I'm amazed sometimes when I talk to somebody, they go, well, I don't know where my kid's going tonight. Mm-hmm. I don't know who they're hanging out with or what they're doing. Well, I guess I tell you, find out.
And we offer talk kits. I can link you to resources to talk to kids about marijuana and alcohol use to start those conversations, which can be difficult.
I appreciate that part too, because I think that that's one of the things that can get gray area for this, the uncomfortableness, the awkwardness, the shame that can come up with this topic and everything. It's part of the reason I ask how the community is about this. So, you know, people out there listening, that one person or whatever that hasn't reached out for help, maybe they understand this is a community that, look, I'm not saying there isn't accountability. There isn't, you know, law involved in this and stuff at times and everything. But right now, with what we're talking about here, we just want people to get better. We'll let the chips fall where they will. We will figure that other stuff out. Right now, it's about getting our community as healthy as possible.
If you need to know more, if you need links to resources, contact me. I've had emails and phone calls that have led to a lot of resources and information. So if this is something that piques your interest, please shoot me a call, and I will probably have more information than you ever needed.
And if you need to get in touch with Jacob, his email is jacob.wagner@woodcountywi.gov, because I got it right in front of me, so I got it easy.
Just changed all those email addresses.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah, at the end of that, you know.
Phone number 715-421-8907.
And again, the community substance use engagement event going on at Midstate will be Monday, May 1st from 5 to 6:30 at Midstate Auditorium. You can learn more about this then. Encourage people to do that, and you can reach out to Jacob again for more information on that. Lance, always good to see you, man. Thanks so much for the time.
No, thank you very much.
Really good to see you too, Jacob. Thank you for the time. Appreciate you guys. We'll talk more next month, Lance. We'll be back with more Morning Magazine in just a few right here on WFHR Locally Grown Radio.
Locally grown, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Chris Domine is a husband and a father. Chris is an athlete. Chris is even an Ironman. But 10 years ago, Chris was facing a very different story because his kidneys were failing.
Basically, the doctor said, if you don't get a kidney transplant, and if you don't do dialysis, you are going to die.
Fortunately, Chris received a second chance at life, made possible by an organ donor.
You know, your well-being changes from loss of hope to better times ahead.
More than 100 million people in America are registered organ, eye, and tissue donors. People of every age and ethnicity, because they believe it's the right thing to do. Imagine what you can make possible by leaving behind the gift of life. Learn more and sign up as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Go to organdonor.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it. The moon.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to James help Seth pick the next theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry, though. It'll be fine.
Yeah, all right. You got me. I give up.
That's it. The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a...
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR.
A blend of clouds and sun this afternoon with highs around 53. Winds out of the southwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies. Tonight, slight chance for scattered rain showers. Lows dip down to about 40. Slight chance for scattered showers again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 64. Cloudy skies expected.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
Currently, it's 39.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Wow. Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine, part two for this April 26, 2023, 10:33 on the clock, and you got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by our great friends from the ODC right now. We have Tanya Callahan with us. She is the Director of Mental Health and Employment. Good morning, Tanya.
Good morning.
Always good to see you. Thanks for being here. And Chris Nemitz is with us, a Mental Health Coordinator. Good to see you, Chris.
Good to see you, too. Thank you.
Appreciate you guys being here. This audience knows how much I love the ODC and all the great things that you guys do over there. So I have no journalistic integrity with this interview whatsoever. I am very big fans of you guys. I love you guys and appreciate the work that you do. And any chance to talk about mental health, we're going to take it. But especially with next month being May being Mental Health Awareness Month, it's a perfect time to have you all in. Appreciate the time. We've got a ton to talk about today, though. So where would you guys like to start? It's not easy. Where do you start all this?
There's a lot. We're super excited. Our mental health team is to be with May, with Mental Health Awareness Month. You know, this is a time where we can really spotlight a lot of the things that that go on behind the scenes with mental health and just for people.
And we have grown so much over the years from 2019, just getting things going, and now we're at 147 clients that we're working with within our programs and within four counties. Wow. So we are really expanding and growing, and just being able to help support individuals with their mental health and or their substance use in the community and within our Opportunity for Hope Clinic. It's been a fantastic opportunity for us to be able to support our communities.
That's actually where I thought would be a good place to start, because this hasn't been around that long. 2019. Mm-hmm. In some ways, it feels like it was 90 years ago, and some it feels like it was yesterday. But I was curious to know how it's been going. You know, we have a good amount of time now to have a parameter of kind of like how this is with our community. Yep. Is the community responding to it? Are we finding use for it? Are we making you guys work, basically? And it turns out, you guys are working and working really hard. It's interesting to me that this is a subject matter that has been an issue since the dawn of civilization. Mm-hmm. Like mental health, it's not new. This isn't something that just started up or anything. This isn't a trend. This isn't something that's just, you know, cliche, niche or something like that. We've had mental health issues from the dawn of time. But here we are in the last, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 years, maybe, where this is a common conversation now. We're talking about it very openly. Like, so I hope people understand that we got work to do. Like, we got a lot of lost time to make up for here and everything. One of the biggest mysteries to me, and one of the bigger concerns with this to me, is the people dealing with these things that weren't tested. That weren't, like, my, you know, generation, we were tested for all kinds of things, and it felt like everybody was diagnosed with HDAD and stuff like that, or ADD and that kind of stuff. And that's not certainly not the case, but there was a lot more testing of it back then. Or when, as a kid, as a mid-teenager, something like that, is I seem to remember when a lot of that stuff and a lot of the conversation started. That's not that long ago. We've got a lot of lost time to make up for. I think of so many relatives I've had and so many older people that I've known that, man, I wonder if that person was on the spectrum, or I wonder if that person was dealing with manic depression or something like that. So to the idea that the work that needs to be done on this subject, it isn't just young people. It isn't just, you know, future kids or anything like that. I hope people consider themselves. I hope they look a little inward and look at the people in your lives. I'm not saying be a dime store psychologist and just start diagnosing people left and right or anything, because everybody loves that. I mean more how important this subject is and how it ties into every one of us. Every single one of us have a tie to this, whether it is the 6 degrees of separation or it is you yourself.
That's where, you know, May being just a month for that, and it's really promoted statewide. It's promoted in all our agencies and our schools. I think we've done a really good job through the county and just different agencies really making May that focal point and explaining what good mental health is. You know, when we talk about mental health awareness, we're always thinking about the bad, right? What's wrong with you? Mm-hmm. Versus there's a flip side to that. What is good mental health? What keeps us functioning? What keeps us happy? What keeps us going? How do we combat those times when we have poor mental health? You know, so the great thing about what we get to do and some of this promotion is not only do we get to talk about, hey, yeah, you may have this issue. We get like, hey, you have this issue. Let's talk about how you can combat that. Let's talk about the good things. So it's a give and take that we are able to do that. And that's the exciting part for me about mental health is it's not all bad, right? Yeah. We could talk about how do we keep just ourselves in good mental health, because we all cycle up and down. We all have good days. We all have bad days. It's just that part excites me, to be able to talk about the positive ends of mental health.
Absolutely. And I think it's super important to talk about healthy sleep and healthy eating and all of the different things that we can do to help support people, because life can be hard for everybody. Everybody has good days and bad days. And how do you build in those good things when you're doing well, so when you're not doing so well, you can implement those things in a better way, and it's easier to get through some of those rougher times.
Yeah, I'm a huge believer that there's really four areas of your life if you can get them under control. And Tanya mentioned sleep. Sleep is huge. If we don't get good sleep, we all get cranky, right? And that's part of mental health. Nutrition is big. Exercise. And then stress management. Mm-hmm. Really, those four areas of, with the people that I work with, we see multiple of those areas that aren't working well for them. Mm-hmm. And when they start to get some of that areas of that, the area of their life working for them, and it's very individual, it's all individual, you see change happen. Mm-hmm. And I know in my own life, my wife will tell you, if I don't get enough sleep, I'm cranky, right? Or if I'm not eating well or exercising, that affects me a lot. So just to know that, I think those are huge.
I don't have a wife to do that, but the audience tells me. The audience, James, get sleep. We need you to get sleep. You're cranky today. I really appreciate the angle that you guys take on these things. That's part of the reason I love talking with you both, especially with the topic that's been talked about so much in recent years. Chris, I don't believe I've heard anybody talk about the positive side of this. Mm-hmm. I genuinely don't. Maybe they have, and I don't want to be dismissive about it, but I don't think I hear that angle on things very often. I got to think that's incredibly important and part of this conversation when we're talking about mental health.
And I think it's really powerful when we're working with our clients or anybody in our community to help support the positive things happening in somebody's world.
I think when we're talking about relatability with this subject, I think I was trying to think of examples, and one of the ones that keeps coming back to me is, you're having a good day, things are going great, but you're still upset, you're still cranky, or you're angry, and you don't know why. Like, it's one thing when it's something, something lands on your foot and it makes you angry, you cause and effect. But we don't know what to do when there is no cause. We're just feeling the effect. Why am I sad? Why, I got a good day going on. I love my job. I like this, but yet I'm sad. Why is that? Understanding these things, that's normal, that's something that everybody deals with. That doesn't mean that your brain's broken or something like that. I think that part is very helpful for people to understand that they are not alone about this, that they many people deal with it. In fact, everybody's got something going on. It shows how much we have in common, how connected we are.
And mental health, physical health, spiritual health, they're all so connected that if something's not right, even in your physical health, it can impact things. So just being able to help support the whole person is very important.
What kind of services are available for people through the ODC that are struggling with these things?
Did you want to talk about your program?
Yeah, so on my side, we work in a community, a supported program where we take therapy and support out to the person. So we work in their homes. We might support them at work. We are out with them. We might, if a person's working on anxiety and they just don't like being out in public places, we might get out in public places with them. Cool. So my role is kind of that reverse of what you think of the classic therapist support person role, right? So that's the beauty of our team that we have, and we are in four counties doing that, in multiple communities where our team is getting out and they're meeting people where they're at. And I find such great results from that, because when you meet somebody on their home or where they're comfortable, their guard is let down a little bit more. They're more relaxed. They're more comfortable in their own setting, and things can happen. Support can happen, and you're you're walking with them versus, you know, pulling them along or pushing them. You're walking in that journey with them. So our program, the side that I deal in, not that the clinic side, the community mm-hmm. support side, is just that. It's walking with them in that community walk as to their recovery, to their health.
Mm-hmm. And our other program is called Opportunity for Hope, and it is an outpatient mental health clinic. It started in July of 22, so it's relatively new, mm-hmm. and then we started taking individuals in December of 22, and we've had 90 referrals come in since December, and our clinic is now serving 47 of those individuals with supports. And it is a mental health outpatient clinic, and we work with individuals, youth and adults, within mm-hmm. that programming. Here in Wisconsin Rapids, we are expanding our clinic to Stevens Point as well.
Yeah.
We're just working through some of the state rules with all of that. So, and we are open to the public. We're open to a variety of insurances that are accepted, and we are open to sliding fee and other things to help support individuals as well. So I would urge anyone in the community, if there's a wait list with maybe their regular doctor, to maybe reach out and see what we could help to support.
And the great thing is we do overlap sometimes. I have consumers that I work with that also go to and see a therapist in the clinic. So it's really about a whole well-rounded approach. We are not separate. We're separated, but we're not separated.
Yeah.
You know, we each do our niche and our own thing to support mental health of what the individual needs. So it's just a wonderful service together.
It really is. It really is. And it shows a couple of things. One, that we have the two of you and that you do have that crossover at times, that you do work so intricately together. The stats that you brought us, I think, are important too. hearing about this satellite location opening up in Stevens Point this year and everything for the Opportunity for Hope. That's all. I mean, these are all good things and stuff. And at the same time, I think it is another reminder to the audience of how important this and how necessary this is. If this has been around since 2019. If we did not need this in our community, you guys wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be working as hard and all that stuff and everything. We wouldn't be opening this satellite location and stuff. It just speaks to, again, how important this is. And for all the, how great it is, those numbers, all those individuals we've been able to, you guys have been able to help and all that, that's great. I gotta think there's more out there. There's people out there that aren't being reached, or maybe they don't know about these things, or maybe they don't, again, going back to this, they don't know that they're dealing with something. I think about this with the ADRC when I first started talking with them and talking about caregiving. And I remember being in the conversation and them saying how so many caregivers don't look at themselves as caregivers or even realize it. And I'm thinking as they're talking, I'm like, wait a minute. I'm a caregiver. Wait, I didn't even realize this and stuff. And I'm literally, they're talking about me. It was weird. I didn't think about that and stuff. I think a lot of people are like that with this. Like, they're listening to this conversation and they're like, wow, those poor people are suffering, or oh, those poor people are hopefully getting help in that, and not realizing they may be one of those people. What are some ways, and this is a very broad question, I apologize for lack of wording it better, but what are some ways of knowing if you are struggling, if you are dealing with something?
Well, I think first, you know, just to get rid of the stigma of mental health, you know, in my own personal life, again, I've gone through, you know, counseling programs. I've gone through the therapy programs myself to do the job that I do. I actually used the EAP program, which is counseling through your employer, for a point in my life. And I'll tell you, it was like getting a massage for my brain. I felt wonderful. Yeah. I tell people all the time, you know, you go see you go see a massage therapist, go see a counselor, just talk to somebody. The ability to just share with somebody who's willing to listen, who is not in your personal realm of life, where that's a little bit more difficult to have those personal conversations than to talk with a pseudo stranger, is for me, it was just absolutely uplifting to my mind and my soul to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it did not mean that I was broken. It just needed to mean I needed to talk to somebody.
Yeah.
And I also, and to answer your question, I also think that if you're noticing that you're not feeling your normal, happy, self, or there's something just on your mind that keeps repeating, or if things are impacting how you're functioning through life and you're not leaving your home and things, I mean, there's, if anything is outside your typical functioning level, then I would reach out and talk to somebody or see if there's some supports that are out there that you could, that could help you through that.
I've been honest with the audience. I recently tried therapy. I've been doing it once a month, and it's hard. I work out 3-4 times a week. This gives me the real workout. Mm-hmm. Like that I can't even stress how much of it is. But it's just like a good workout. Am I a little sore afterwards? Yeah, but I feel really good that I did it. I've always been pretty honest and forward with myself, my friends, when I'm talking about them, about different stories in my life that may not be your traditional way of growing up and stuff. And there's so much of things that happened in my life that I didn't realize were trauma. That was just a funny story to me. It was just kind of silly, funny story that happens in the projects or something like that or whatever. It's trauma. It's things that have led to issues with sleep and food for me and that kind of stuff. Like that, having that third party there that is just there to listen and help guide a bit here and there, it's a gift. It really is. And I don't genuinely think that anybody couldn't be benefited from that. I think for me, the big thing, the reason why I'm 46 and I'm finally starting to do some of this stuff and everything, shame was never an issue for me, although I take the understanding that it is for so many people when it comes to this subject. But for me, it was that kind of Midwest mentality. I can walk it off. I'll walk it off. This is our, you know, I'm having a bad day, but I don't want to bother other people with my junk and everything like that. Everybody's having a bad day. I'm just going to roll with this. I'll be fine. And then what do? We bury stuff, or we just keep moving forward because time just keeps going forward. And you do that, and you do that, and you do that. Before you know it, 20 years have gone by, and you've got all this stuff that you have not addressed or tackled.
And snowballs.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. And so I can't be alone on that one. I am positive there are other people out there that are struggling with that kind of stuff too. I really hope that you take a look in the mirror, that you do this for yourself, do this for your loved ones. It's important, and you deserve it. Everybody deserves to live their life to the fullest.
Yeah. You know, and the biggest thing I can say, too, is don't be afraid to share with the people that are in your life. And be honest. If you're struggling, you're struggling. You know, if I see Tanya has a broken leg, well, I can see that she's got a broken leg. Mm-hmm. I understand that, and I know how to help her. But, you know, it's one of those things where if I'm struggling and say, hey, I just need to talk, you know, be open to listen.
Yeah.
And you don't have to solve a person's problems. That's the biggest thing. Well, I don't know how to solve their problem.
Right.
You don't have to. You simply have to just listen and sometimes just walk with them. Because sometimes all I need in my life is just someone to listen.
Yeah.
I don't want you to fix it. I just want you to listen.
There is a Mental Health Awareness Month t-shirt sale going on. I wanted to touch on that as well.
Yes. So we have, if you go to our Ink Splash shop and go and select Opportunity for Hope, you can click on and purchase a shirt for Mental Health Awareness Month, and it's dedicated to reducing the stigma around mental illness and hopefully by raising awareness. So it's there, and it's for sale, so please go out to our odc.com link, and you can click on that and purchase it.
Tanya, you are great. You're not giving this enough, though. These are awesome shirts. These are really cool designs.
They're
very
cool.
They're very cool. I know you were doing a great job. I'm just teasing you. They are really cool. I really like these shirts. I especially like the couple of sweaters that are up there that it's cool to talk about mental health. I like that. I like these. And I love the idea of the support of this. Like walking around, you know, nobody has a problem walking around with their favorite sports team on their jersey or or shirt or anything like that. This is no different. This is something that we want everybody on the same team on. We want to all be behind this. You guys are going to be hosting something very soon. It's your second annual. That looks exciting.
Yes, we have our second annual For Hope Golf Benefit coming up at Sand Valley on May 3rd. We have 70 golfers participating in the event, and we have some great sponsors. Wood Trust is our premier sponsor. Solaris and Exact Sciences are our lunch sponsors. Tito's is our drink sponsor. Altman's Construction and Gottschalk Cranberry are event gift sponsors, and we're doing an 18-hole golf or as a fundraising event for our Opportunity for Hope outpatient clinic.
That's great. That is going to be a lot of fun. If people want to register, find out more about that, just go to the website?
You can go to the website, yes. There's some information there. Otherwise, you can call ODC, and we can get you to the right person who's actually, her name is Callie, who is organizing that event.
Very cool. And that website, real quick, odcinc.com. We'll give that again before we wrap up today. You have something new coming up this year, too, that cash calendar raffle. Was that mentioned? Did you touch on that?
No, I have not mentioned that. But we do have a cash calendar raffle coming up. So if you want to participate, you can buy a raffle ticket. It's $10 each or three for $20. And we have over $3,600 in prizes. So there are drawings each day of the month of June. And some of the prizes are pretty fantastic. Mm-hmm. So if you do want to participate in the raffle, you can stop in at the ODC office or call, and we will find you and get you your raffle, whatever we can do to help support that. But if you call our main number, we will make sure we can get that to you.
Cool. It is kind of cool to me, too, that it's 2023, and people still love raffles as much as 1903.
Absolutely.
Like, yes. People love raffles. They just still do. It's great. That's awesome. We love our friends over at Milkweed Market, and especially with Mother's and Father's Day coming around and everything, I can't think of a better place to go for those items than Milkweed Market.
Yes, our store hours are still Wednesdays 10 to 3, Thursdays and Fridays 10 to 5, and the first and third Saturdays from 10 to 2. On May 6th, we are beginning our Saturday hours, and we have our Maker's Mark and Mother's Day baskets on May 13th from 10 to 2 if you would like to stop in and make some purchases. We got a lot of cool things happening at Milkweed, mm-hmm. so if you haven't been there or if you are a repeat person coming there, please come that day. There's some great things happening. We also have a food truck coming on May 18th, Cambry's food truck from 11 to 1. And if you support that there's, you'll receive a 15% off coupon for Milkweed Market as well.
Nice.
Plus, on May 26th, we have veterans receive 20% discount in the store. So if you're a veteran, please stop in on May 26th. Would be a great day to come in and do some shopping.
So a lot of great info, Tanya. I want to pause a little bit and go back to some of these. First off, I want to thank you guys at Milkweed Market and the Maker's Market. I've gotten my mother every single Coca-Cola thing she could ever possibly want. I've run out of ideas, you guys. Please don't tell her that, but I've run out of ideas. These Mother's Day baskets, those kind of things, very helpful. Very, very helpful. And they're really cool. They put so much into these. One of the things that I love about recommending people to Milkweed Mart go there and everything is there's not an item you walk in at its door, you pick up any item, and it's made with care.
Like
it's unique. It's different. Even if you have two items that are exact same next to each other, both of those were made differently with different care and love. We talk so much about buying local, supporting local, and this is the epitome of that. It's the definition of it, what's going on in Milkweed Market, because it's not just these products that you're getting from here. They're created from people from here. And some of the hardest working, greatest people you'll ever meet are working on this stuff. So when I get like an item from my mom for Mother's Day or her birthday from Milkweed Market, because that's the place to go. She will not accept items from anywhere else almost. She's not just enjoying this cool, unique knickknack or shirt or something like that. For her, she's looking at it and looking at our city, at our community, at one of the hearts of our community in the ODC. And all that work and all that love and everything that goes into that fun, cool item. Like, so these items, these things that we're getting for these events coming up and everything, they go so much farther than I think we realize, because it's all of that and it's an investment. You are putting an investment in your community. You are helping the ODC continue to do the great work that they have done for decades in this community. Every penny counts, and every sale, every bit, it stays in this community. It continues to help our clients, the clients of the ODC. I keep saying we. I'm so sorry to do that. But really, I've cared about this place for so long, and it's had such an impact on my family that I can't help but feel that way about it and support the things that you guys are doing. You mentioned the food truck coming up. We love food trucks. And I want to send a whoever's idea it was to have that 15% off. That was really smart. That's a really cool idea of doing. Yeah. A great way of supporting another business as well as a Milkweed Market, because the ODC is also good at that. It's supporting this community. Think about what the ODC does. It's not not just helping the clients. It's helping the clients get independent, feel free, understand what it's like to live that way. And they go into the community and add to a business, add to that business's profit, its economy. It's one thing for a nonprofit to help a community. It's another to be so intertwined with it and do such good work in so on so many different layers. And one of those layers is, of course, mental health. And as we're wrapping up here, we'll just kind of wrap up there with the whole reason we brought you guys in. We're talking about mental health. Let's go over again some of the things that we were talking about earlier in the conversation. It's Mental Health Awareness Month coming into May, so that is something to keep in mind, certainly. Chris, what are some of the things that you hope people will come out of May? You know, we get to the end of May, and we're hoping for more, maybe more people. We're hoping for maybe more understanding, maybe more conversations is the right way I should be putting that. I don't want people to have mental health.
Absolutely.
But maybe more conversations about it.
Yeah, you know, May's a wonderful month. You know, it's the start of, you know, you got that summer coming. So it's a perfect time, I think, to have mental health awareness, because it's that time where, you know, that good weather brings happiness, right? Yeah. It brings good vibes, that sunshine. It's a perfect time to talk about good mental health and what it is to have that. And if you're struggling, to realize you don't have to struggle all your life.
Yeah,
we all go through struggles, but we can get over them with the help that is out there. So there is a light to the end of the tunnel. You might not see it yet, but find someone to walk with you with it. So if anything coming out of Mental Health Awareness Month is really that hope, right? That's why we named the clinic what we did.
Yeah.
Is there hope that there is hope for good mental health?
Mm-hmm. There is a quote I wanted to wrap up on that, you know, struggling with it my whole life and my family, my mother, that kind of thing. My grandfather was a big Ernest Hemingway fan, and I remember reading this as a kid, and it really changed me. We are all broken. That is how the light gets in. The Ernest Hemingway.
Yeah,
it's just absolutely a beautiful quote, and it's so true. Yes. Thank you both for the time. Appreciate you guys so dang much. Love talking with you. Please say hi to everybody over at the ODC for us.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Again, that website, odcinc.com, odcinc.com. If people want to get in touch with either of you, just send them to the site. Or did you want to give any? Okay, just send them to the site. odcinc.com. Thanks again for the time, you guys.
Thank you.
We'll be back with more Morning Magazine tomorrow.